After this diagnosis, I think life goes on and we continue with, I hope, some good news, at least for the, let's say, the other side of community. And we'll give you a presentation of what happened to OMS in the last year. I mean, in the last year, I got a lot of feedback from the conference, what's needed, what's wanted, whatever. And also since I have retired from my main position, I have actually more time to do things which I like to do, and therefore more effort went into developing the server further, and have very long release notes, and I'm not going to all of the details from the release notes, but just trying to summarize what happens there. I mean, altogether, it's a platform, 5.1 is a platform modernization release. And nevertheless, we have 48 new tiki commands. I mean, most of these are C implemented commands, which you will see here in the detail afterwards, which are, let's say, many of them are in the cryptographic area for bringing, let's say, Navi server to the, let's say, current state of the art there. And in the last year, we had altogether 8 releases. 2 releases from the old branches, and the other releases are the new branches. And since last year, there's a, let's see, 355 changes and many deletions. The size of the release is similar to the change of Navi server 499 to 5. It's just the same order of magnitude. The regression tests are really increasing a lot, and it's also due to whatever security tests and more tricky and boundary cases were put into regression tests. And what do we have here? And it's just an overview from the next slides. Is there, we have a lot of security and protocol hardening, and some of the changes were also induced by OpenSSL changes. I mean, also OpenSSL made big changes from the OpenSSL 1.something series into OpenSSL 3, and in the meantime, OpenSSL 4. And they changed the interfaces. And many of the old interfaces we're using were duplicated. I mean, they're still usable, but they have changed. And all of the new stuff is just new interfaces. And by being, let's say, C dependent from the interface point of view, one has to change the code, one has to there. But still, one wants to run still on old distributions. And there were also the regression tests of OpenSSL also runs automatically on releases which have only OpenSSL 1.something, but with less functionality. What was there before is still working and improved, but still. And also, before I forget it, another place, I mean, there are many security features here in the new release, and I try to backport these changes to earlier releases. The most hardest, most serious, let's say, changes are going back to 499. Many of the changes which are architectural, possibly whatever, are going to the 5.0 release branch, and the new stuff is there in 5.1. And what we have here is a lot of things which also raised in the course of developing things. And for example, when I was developing Passkey, I put the names just using, let's say, Face ID to log in on the OpenACS and Navi server. I mean, you realize that there are many standards there which you have to think about. Well, where do I get this? And you need the things which are normally not in the normal, let's say, scope of a typical programmer like CBOR. CBOR is roughly speaking something, a structured data, binary data, in the same similar sense to, let's say, JSON, but it's not JSON, it's a binary representation very common. And we do not have here the full CBOR implementation there, but all of the things which is needed for a reader, not a producer, but just for the basic data types one needs to have there. And then you need a good way to, let's say, intake and outtake JavaScript. If you write quoting, It's really in many of the UPCS code is a permanent danger that people are forgetting to encode JavaScript while therefore you need some kind of rules how to produce the correct JavaScript, in which case both is needed and whatever. And therefore it's also for this basket. Those are basic things. And then there are many implementations out there, and if you are in this environment, you want to have something put together. And therefore many of these changes were introduced actually by doing real work there. And I think I will address the other things going through. But the intention of the new release is safer. Against, let's see, various attacks and so on. I mean, that's one of the newer RFCs that the US marketing attack described, actually, which is quite tricky. And you see a little about this. I've got also reports from, let's see, users which are overseeing the directed level attacks. I mean, many of the tests running against some kind of intrusion systems, whatever, didn't find this, but they even found it, and it was interesting combination of the slashes and backslashes in a path, which can still lead to a. And there's a thing about, let's say, traverse proxy thing, which was introduced in the main analyzer last year. There's a lot of, let's say, tricky cases which were not described at all. There's a many also improvement also in, on the CGI side and CGI protection and also so we have tens of the community to improve there. And also one, let's say, other important thing is having safer defaults. Maybe it will have some disadvantage for some users because they have to specify things which were running first automatically, but the default, even if it was much relying on the defaults that this is helpful. But if you don't change them, you can rely on the server host to provide by yourself safe defaults in the first place. And also, for example, it was a default standard configuration files allowed. Also, if you have a folder, you can see the folder count. You don't want to have this by default in a public website, therefore you should turn it off by default. And if the user wants to use it, you can attach it into the configuration file. There's a lot of more native code there. I will also address this in more detail from JSON pointer and it's a type information there. It's about Java Web Tokens, JWT, encoding, decoding, verification. It's also closely related to the security work there. There's this CBOR there, which I mentioned before there, and quickly. Altogether, with the rest is the infrastructure for a pass key and the protocol below this is web auth infrastructure. And there's also the area of MTLS, it's a symmetrical TLS, where it's another way for allowing passwordless authentication on the server. It's optionally to, if the server can say, if you have a client certificate, please provide it to me. And the server gives afterwards the means to extract information from the certificate. Therefore, you can encode the organization, your user ID, and other things. And you get a safe dismissal for this, and you can use this afterwards to log in and use it after the And future ready, issue 3, I will cover this slide. In the next slides in more detail. OpenSSL 3.4, the so-called provider model, was the thing which I mentioned before, this interface was changed, and when OpenSSL changed its own thinking in a way that only OpenSSL provides a crypto infrastructure, it has a provider infrastructure where also other sources can provide their crypto infrastructure. And it's open-ended, and it has a so-called envelope structure where you can say, I have here an algorithm with these capabilities and plug it in. So it doesn't have to be hard coded. And certainly one has also from the DT interface and interface of the intake, the field to look what's there and so on. And this also includes things like post quantum, API in their relations and in the to say, I think it's really good. I don't think it's coming back. And also, PT9 is changing and it's now PT9 ready. And we have a couple of changes there. I mean, more changes than I was expecting from going from 9.0 to 9.1. But I think Stefan will also maybe address some of this. One thing was for a long time request was configuration directories. I mean, this is a very wide way of configuring the server and its environment and virtual servers and so on. And it's tend to be after the quite a large configuration part. I mean, it's, if a site changes a couple of places there, it's not so easy to track back what you have changed and it's there. And therefore it's this configuration directory allows more or less to import or reuse any parts of the configuration, and you have simply a few places you want to change and you want to maintain, and you can care about it. And this configuration directory allows this, and it's not that not everybody has to use this. You have always option to use the old style configuration files or this configuration directories. And I think also one important thing is here the general documentation, which is maintenance questions also from the documentation point of view, but all of the configuration parameters are defined now in the tkdict, and the tkdict is a source for generated tkdict, which can be included in many places using the wonderful tkdoc from Andreas, and which was simply used, and you can use it in different places. And also the same thing is used for producing, for example, online documentation in JSON for two tips for going up and to the parameter and get the parameter definition there presented. A few words about HTTP3. I mean, why is HTTP3 different to the earlier versions of HTTP? I mean, one big change there is going from TCP to UDP. And it's not a question of just exchanging the low-level protocol, but it also means that with UDP, you don't have streams in it. And therefore, they have adopted quick connection, or more in general, quick streams, which is a way that I think was mostly developed by Google. It's a way to get an extreme-like behavior on pure UDP. This is very different basic infrastructure. And also one other thing, technically for a programmer, it changed because in the classical TCP world, every stream is a different file descriptor. And you have a big select call or whatever call where you register all of the file descriptors and you get events for the file descriptors. That's all. There you have exactly one file descriptor, a UDP file descriptor, and the rest is multiplexed into this one file descriptor. And you have to pull it in and get it out. There's kind of a nesting structure there, so you have transport everything on this level. And this means certainly for a driver the full event model change. And you need a lot of infrastructure, and fortunately a part of this infrastructure was coming from Google itself. We have a decoder. As we say later, quick is just a small part of the whole picture, but it means also some more part of this. And the consequence is there that all the different driver threads now for this reverse of this. And there's a very short slide showing what's more or less what is going on there. I mean, it shows that the quick connections are a little bit more complicated than I said, because the unidirectional streams from the client to the server, from the server to the client. Bidirectional streams. All of them are possible to configure and they're used intensively by HTTP3. And therefore, one has to deal with this whole structure there. And within one connection, you have multiple streams there, and you can have multiple of these group connections at the same time. There's a quite a different model. And here you see a small picture, again, we see OpenACS page. Over HTTP3, and you see it here in this small corner of the protocol, and everywhere where the H3 was natively serving. But there's also some kind of parts of it. HTTP/3 is quite new. There are not too many clients out there. Testing HTTP/3 is not so easy. And deliberately, HTTP/3 is very picky on your setup. For example, no self-signed certificates, no requests which are not in modern purpose, you need certificates. It doesn't help either if you define your own CA, certification authority, and get from this your certificate, doesn't help either. Therefore, you need really certificates, at least for most of the clients. I mean, there are clients, you can patch up curl to get working with HTTP/3, but you have to do it yourself. And it's 1 to 2 days to work to get it working. It's not simple. It's not something you configure and it does, but you have to get the right version of client library and configure it, whatever. And if this is working, it doesn't mean that the browser can work with this. And Firefox and Chrome also work different. I think it's a longer story, but it's not fully major. And I also, let's say, found a couple of bugs inside OpenSSL where OpenSSL simply crashes. Therefore, it's not yet, what I'm going to say, they're for export and not in production ready. But I'm sure OpenSSL will improve. And I also was able to contribute also a few changes necessary there to the OpenSSL community. Therefore, it will improve, but it still will take some time. And the implementation as it is now is by default deactivated. You can activate it and play for it to get the first, let's say, experience with this, but don't expect it to be production ready. It will still, I think, take some time. That's the stuff about this provider infrastructure of OpenSSL. And this is a new, let's say, infrastructure there, provided there. It's not only the Spring Winds in the crypto of OpenSSL, but yes, there's this kind of separation there. And also, NaviServer was following this basic idea. And one of the basic ideas there is, it's not the classic, let's say, root level crypto, where you have here one algorithm, other algorithm, and you mix it together, and you have there, whatever, a signature. It's many of the new algorithms have capabilities which are built in. It's not arbitrary how you combine. If you want to get a post quantum signature, it's just a new combination, and there is a signature provider which gives you this exactly this in this way. And there's no way for you to make it. There's a couple of, let's say, different crypto tasks which are mentioned here. Key management in general for generating keys and reading contents from the keys, which is also one of them is new. And there's a signature area, which will cover the next slide a little bit. And then there's the key agreement things for deriving keys and in the style of Diffie-Hellman, as it was in earlier times. And there are many new algorithms out there which are embracing it. And there's also this M, this is called encapsulation and calculation of keys, and so this crypto thing is called MLChem, which is post quantum crypto algorithm there. And I mean, this slide shows shortly what's there. I mean, there's the old style where you define whatever, some kind of a key and some kind of a hash and put it together. And the new style is here, you have a message and you have a key. With these capabilities, or I just say you produce a key from the family which works with this, and there's there what is a provider backend signature. And whatever it does, you don't care, it just does it. And the key type determines the operation there. And that means there is there's a way to use this interface script to generate script to signature generate a key there with a certain algorithm there. This is this post quantum algorithm, MLPSA 65. From this key, you can derive the public key with a simple command. And then you can use this the private key for signing, the public key for verifying the signature. You simply put it together in a crypto signature sign and verify operation. I mean, it's getting much easier for the programmer and more flexible for the provider. They can do whatever they want with the algorithms, and you can, let's say, live with this. Here's the story about passkeys, which I mentioned in the introductory slides. I mean, this passkeys is the technology behind the face ID, touch ID, fingerprint, security key logging. And it's more than a mixture where we say the browser, authenticator, and server challenge have worked together. And this biometric stuff, with this basically is just on the authenticator, just on the side of the client, and the server receives afterwards the crypto information about this in a way of using this web auth protocol. So it doesn't receive your fingerprint, but it just gets afterwards, let's say, data defined in the ASCII algorithm. It needs a couple of algorithms there, as mentioned before, it's just from the JSON, SIBOR, COSE. COSE is a public key format there, based on SIBOR actually. And you have afterwards to need this crypto. I've mentioned before to verify these assertions, and the application has to think about this workflows and the session nature. And I mean, for the Navi server, it means you have less external glue code, and you can use it there in processing other applications there. And a small demo slide here is also made a package for OpenSAS, which is using this infrastructure. And what it needs actually is a way where do you want to register your passkey. It's a way that you can still go to your page and say I want to register passkeys, and there's a passkey management site. You start with this OpenSAS package where you have different passkeys and you see when it was used the last time, from where it was generated, and so on. You can delete them and manage them there over the interface. And also if you want to log in, you have the a new thing is called sign in with passkey, and by this, if the passkey is provided, it obviously can use this afterwards. I mean, this means this passkey is really easy to use afterwards for applications, and it needs the whole, let's say, infrastructure. I mean, and by register, at the time when you register, you are logged in. That means you have to log in first time using classical methods, but once you're logged in, you can use this credential information, is encoded afterwards in the data, and this can be used afterwards for logging in at later times. And it's really convenient, especially from the smartphone. I don't need to do much for the login on the web browser, but for the smartphone is certainly nice. It's using the SIBOR, which I mentioned before. There is this, it's called concise binary object representation. And it has different data types here, as written here, and it's just for comparison. There's a JSON text here on the left side, and SIBOR bytes on the right side. It's just everything is binary. It's expressed here by these hex characters, and takes the same information, which is on the left side, is on the right side, with both types there, and so on. And for example, true on the last line is just one character, which is this F5, which is just provided there from SIBOR itself. And the way how it works in the application is actually there's some kind of a COSE binary data, and you pass this binary data here, and you get afterwards a dict out of this from this interface, and from this dict they say I want to have these values, and these values which are defined in standards, there are also this funny undercodes negative integers which are putting out some kind of x and y coordinates with some, let's say the coordinates from in this case, and it's just the way it's done. It's not the thing that is invented by, let's say, Navi server. The interface is just application side and COSE defines this way. And you need to know what is the external thing. I mean, if you start doing this integration, you have to solve all of the things. Many of the things you can find places where you can do it as well. But the question is what kind of interface, how deep is it maintained? I think it's better if you have it integrated. And I mean, it's the same way there. I look towards the JSON world. And I mean, one thing which is also interesting for having this integrated, I mean, there are many ways of getting JSON data into teaching and NaviServer. And I think the last years we saw many approaches there. The best implementation is the TDOM implementation, which is most widespread, I think, and it's really improved and whatever. But I mean, one thing which is, for example, interesting also for OpenSAS is OpenSAS has something called a page contract. On the page contract, say, if one goes to this page, to this endpoint, what is the interface? What kind of values you are expecting there? And the values you're expecting are not only determined by the data type, but also by the content. I mean, for example, you have some kind of IDs, and it should be like OpenSAS ID, and the user should have rights on this, otherwise you want to reject it. I mean, and there's a long list of validators there in can be specified in a very convenient way in the page contracts of OpenSAS. And now, with this new support, if the request is a JSON request, you get afterwards the same format as you got before for the, let's say, information coming from the form or from the query parameters, and which is an NSF, and it does an auto parsing in this way and it provides the JSON data in this way. That means you can use your basic way how to, you don't have to change the methods, you don't have to add it. I mean, it was also for me quite useful actually not to have to invent my new ways how to ID. How do I want to verify and detail the JSON data I'm getting? And I mean, there's a core which is, let's say, a parser generator, or the generator is very important there. Could use JSON data from a string literal to a large structure with the right coding. There's also a way to, let's say, access elements in the structure. And there's a wide and easy way, it's called JSON pointer, which is also used by this interface for the page contract. You have the path leading to a value, and this RFC behind this, and you can use this afterwards. You're getting your data, what is updating the data inside the structure, and write it back, that's the whole thing, or a part of it. There's also one thing which I added there was when looking at JSON data, and you get real-world JSON data, not small examples. It's sometimes a pain to figure out what's there, and you have three of them, and what kind of things do I get there? I mean, you don't get only a very JSON schema for this. There were either the schema generation, you give it a couple of examples, and you say, oh, you can generate from these examples. What can I derive from these examples? And this afterwards your life to whatever you want, and if you get some new data, you can just checks this again against the generator, whether it's you have to adapt your code or it's just a bug or whatever. Also one thing is, I think it's interesting also from the particular point of view, is just if you have some kind of a structure, a JSON structure here, it's an array with let's see a couple of JSON objects with a key and a value, and you produce from this some kind of a tree structure. So you have an array, and the array contains these objects, JSON objects, and the objects have their key value pair. And all of the things, if you do it in a picky way, you have there at the end some kind of picky objects which are living there. And if you do it the first straight approach there, you have the, you're generating very often, let's say, the same picky object there. However, one thing which really helped there, both in performance and in memory things, was to use the reference count. It just more or less figures out that, I have this name is used here in two places here, developer is used in two places, and two is used in two places. That means both the keys and the values can be shared this way. We're getting ref counts afterwards, which are not one, but two at this place. And the whole structure which you see more or less key sharing infrastructure helped more or less on real world data, not on a it's just I think some kind of 5 megabyte example data from the JSON spec there, which you use there. It's just reducing the memory footprint. You see 8% is forget about this, but I mean it's 8%. And it's also quite fast. And the reason that I think the reason why it's fast, I believe it, but in detail is, it is, I mean, TDOM is producing its own structure, and the structure produces afterwards digital representation if you go to the digit. It is a digital benchmark. And this is happening directly, which just without this individual step. And it's producing this shared object, and it's the reason why this was seen. Special for this purpose developed algorithm is slightly faster, but I think the performance is not the main part, because also this 5 megabyte is really fast, very fast. I mean, it's just, I wasn't expecting that I'm getting the speed of, you know. And based on this, I also developed this kind of object sharing and video sharing further. And obviously, there's now an infrastructure for atoms, which are thread specific cache. And so it's even written in other places where often you could use the same digital OBJ string with the same thing and have the same string and so on. You can simply share it, and it's just particularly the same. And there's an example of this updating thing, and it was coming from John on the mailing list more or less. And there's some kind of a big book kind of a JSON structure, and just doing a part of this, which is a it has a voice and the ways of written voices between this. And the task was to update here one element in the structure. And what we're doing here is we're using here also a way to preserve the data, the original data. It's not converting everything into dict, but there you can use some data. I mean, for example, position. I mean, if you have some data with, let's say, 100 points after 100 digits after the point, it's lost in DQ because it's afterwards it's converted in this way that it's well, it's taking this value and it's produced exactly the same literal output there from this vaccines which are coming in the output stream. Just the part which you're updating is touched there, and it simply says just it says it's a get value, and you give it a, this pointer structure, and it's getting here from this first array element, which is according to the standards, called with C0, and you get here this the structure here, and you simply update in the structure here the customer, and if you want, you can afterwards produce the JSON representation of part of it. It's just producing here. There's just the first invoice, the array in position 0, only from the structure, but you can also predict the full structure. It's late. Anyhow, just I'm trying to speed up quite a lot. This is just a JWT structure here is for, let's say, JSON web tokens. And at the end, you see here, here is the full coverage of the algorithms which are described out there. Those are the newer ones. And you see here, it's just using afterwards this signing infrastructure. Quite heavily, you simply provide the right thing for this kind of voice trust defined there. Let's keep here MTLS a little bit. Mentioning here hardening, I think it is in the intro already. Configuration directories, I think it's conceptually quite simple. You have a configuration directory, you have your parts, and you can always update the relevant parts that you need. And also, can it's not fixed, you can do it whatever you want, and you can make also other operation there. And maybe what's interesting for seeing here is the parameter viewing from Lavi server. You can see your parameters as defined, and you see different colors. And for example, you see here this value is at default, this value was changed here. Some values are duplicated in the configuration, you know, I should do something about this. And if you go to this iScience here, then it shows you the information from the documentation. Right, this and it also says here, for example, you have set in your configuration file to the value of false, but this was already before. It helps you afterwards to maintaining your directory structure in an easier way. One thing I think is quite important to mention here is this slide is something like the preview, but it describes what is intention here. It's templating. I mean, templating means you have particular variables from your code, and you want to produce it in an output. And for the output, you have different, let's say, context, and you can do everything by your hand and doing it manually. But what's doing here, sometimes you have the variables and you have to quote them to the HTML rules. Otherwise, you get usually some kind of potential attacks on unescaped whatever values. Therefore, you have the rules here, the particular context, which is just, HTML context. And then we have here other things which have to be URL encoded. And you can say, I have here a variable and it should be URL encoded at the right place. And you can specify here it's a query parameter, it's a path parameter to go into this. And then you have JavaScript content in your template. It happens very often. And you see here the account, and it's a JavaScript, and it's a number. You can specify this. And there's also a long version and a short version of the things. And in this case, it produces a title object and a JavaScript object, a complex object structure, as shown. I can put here the build from before and say, put it in here. It simply expands everything in the right place. Then you have SQL content. I mean, it's a, this place is just showing you the brief statement, but in SQL you have different quoting as well. You have to do the right quoting in SQL. And it's also doing for lists, and you have different input parameters. This is, for example, for lists, but also you have input parameters, title scalars. It might be from open source, the multi rows. You have objects in various forms. You have a dict which you want to produce, and you want to iterate over this. And here you see some kind of thing. Iterate is a for each of these values. And for each is it's also extensible. You can do your own types if you want there in a way. And this again, for this you have to define your own text, which is normal in OpenSES, so just fixed for a long time. But you have to do it slightly different than it was before. Therefore, there's always support now for text sets. I mean, if you look at OpenSES, we have the 350 I think packages, and it's completely unthinkable that all of these objects, somebody takes the time and changes all of the basic looking for details, what's hard coded, what's not. You need an incremental way of doing it. And just incremental ways means some includes, some pages, some packages. And you can define these tag sets. I want to have from this include certain tags. It means that the tag for each has here a different meaning than another place. And this tag is just local to this, let's say, context. My second last slide here is about updates. I mean, there's a statistics out there from BitSight, and it shows more or less that it shows something like 85,000 public sites, which are sites which are not behind Nginx and not in private organizations. And I mean, for example, most of the knowledge market servers are not included here because they are behind some boxes and which hides information, but it's just not a full installation base. But what it shows quite nicely is the versions here. I mean, I see most of the implementation are processing out 4.99 versions simply because they work or whatever. And I mean, it's something like a prayer to upgrade early, and the change also helps. It also helps the configuration files to make it easier to migrate from version to version because you don't have to update everything, and it's getting somewhat easier. The good thing is that I made this slide yesterday, and there's there already, let's say, 73 of these public sites using Rediserver 5.1, which was unmasked. Here's the last slide, but I don't go this, but the message is there's good, it's safer by default, and it's more future ready. And I think this was the last slide. Probably the best thing is if you have some questions to address me. I mean, maybe one urgent question for now, otherwise, just in the other break, the company will be able to discuss it.
Are there any questions? Yeah, I will ask a question. European Cyber Resilience Act. It's all companies, we have to care about security. How do you see Naviserver prepared for the Cyber Resilience Act? requirements.
I mean, I think they're not finished yet. But yeah, I mean, the point is, I mean, actually, cyber resilience is two sides. If you want security, and then privacy. And one thing which I didn't say there is with the hardware server has another feature which is called privacy indicators. And there are currently three different standards out there which define how a user can specify their privacy wishes, and privacy security sometimes called. And the value circuit structure gives the application programmer a bit of this, what is compiled of the cooked information. You don't have this programmer to go to the details, the parents, the interface. Therefore, it's easy for an application to deal with this. And I mean, in terms of, let's say, security infrastructure, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about cloud Mythos to address more the security risk. And I mean, I also have applied for this, but was more this at the time when the Trump administration was coming out and saying, don't export it, and more or less they never answered. But the OpenAI people answered, and they have a thing called Patch the Planet. And actually, two of the features which are there are from OpenAI to Threat Scan. Why is this important? Because in the not near future, many more people will have access to this security tools and will have to address this and cover this. That means also as a developer of a public infrastructure, and the public infrastructure is not only a public server, but also for the schools and also whatever, you have a certain responsibility to do it. And but on the same side, you want to have the ability not to change much. So it's some kind of a stretch on how far you can go and to address it. And I mean, what bad thing, and everybody I think was afraid about this AI security detection thing, is that everybody thinks. Who's let's see, person transmitting a version of the server and simply attacks it. I mean, one solution is that not talking to the or telling the world what kind of server version you're using. You know, all of the standards I have there, they're just from a, let's say, non recommended implementation where the server can see the version. I mean, most of the people should turn it off. But still, I mean, people can figure out, I mean, it's a long way to, let's say, get it safe. And if the number of attacks that will go up and it will be a challenge in the next year, then all I can say is the really serious things are exported to early versions. And it doesn't force anybody to use 5.1.0, but just that. I have exported some of the changes and I have not made new releases of the older versions, but it will be in the near future.
Well, Michael, we're setting up our next speaker. So thanks again to Peter Farman. I should be asking, can these extensions as crypto and as JSON can be used outside of the server? Explain for the ticket.
Yes, in practice, not so easy. I mean, all of the thing is working in the shared object. There's a lib and a div, and it's certainly possible to load this object. This bit into those plain ticket. And there was, I think, 10 years, 15 years ago, somebody from the community which made me an interface for loading the digital infrastructure into plain ticket. I mean, the question is some of the things you might not want there in ticket for yourself, but some of the things you want to do it. Therefore, I think the best way is to, let's say, having a filtering interface to say, I do not want to have all of this event stuff there happening because it's not the same as the digital event. And not sure if people are happy if one says, okay, forget the infrastructure, we need the UDP infrastructure in the same event. I think it has different goals there than the server. And that's why I think it's easier not to try to find a mega thing which works for all of them, but they just say, I want to have the crypto path on there, and you get it, and it could be possible. But it needs some C-level help to see what I need the place. And I think these are things that are one of the sticky commands for the register. And they are registered, I mean, in a way, they are registered for a server. I mean, now the service might be a service, and this is not all of the integrators get it, but the few of them. And that's still the base where you have to think about what's the best thing with interface. You mean you have to have a defining a dummy server, which is a main server, and get the commands from the main server, and this is linked to the current PG integrator, it can be done this way. But it is not much code, but you have to think. Okay, thank you.